Well, one of the things that, as I said, we're going to look at verse 4 of chapter 13. But one thing we touched on last week was that we can't love without His love and His love in us. And we looked at a number of scriptures. We looked at John 3:16. If you'd like, we can just briefly turn over there, and we can see that God, what does it say? God so loved the world that He did what? He gave. So love gives. Divine love gives. And also you can see that divine love, the divine agape love of God, is not dependent upon a response. It's dependent on, it's based on a decision. So no matter whether a response is given or not, love gives and doesn't give based on, a response. So we can see that God gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever what believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And it's this everlasting life that gets imparted into us that changes us. It's the divine nature of God. So you can't love, it's impossible to love like God without His help, without Him being in you. It's impossible. Because when you look at the word agape, and as they indicate, there's only two words for love that's really expressed. Agape, which is God's kind of love, and phileo, which is the human natural love that we show one another. And so you can't love like God with the phileo human type of love. It's impossible. We come up short. We reach a certain point, but then if somebody doesn't like us, sometimes we go, forget it. Or if they respond a certain way, we go, forget it. Love, God's love, is not dependent on that. Because when we were yet dead in our sins, Christ died for us. So it's not possible to love people without God's love. It's not possible. And really, when you think about it, the only way, as someone put it, the only way that this world is going to know God is how? Through us. Through His love. It's through this love of God that people are going to touch God, which is through us. So it's something that as we meditate more, as we act upon it more, the love of God will operate in us. I shared this many years ago. I had an experience. And I don't look for experiences. I wasn't looking for it. And even today, you know, when we have supernatural experiences, we don't look for them. They just happen. But I was in a situation, in a setting where I was in a group with a group of people. And in that group, there was a person that I did not like. I mean, anybody ever been there? And I really didn't like this person. It was a Christian, but I didn't like him. And so in that setting, the Lord prompted me to pray for this person. And so I did. And because of that obedience, you know, love obeys. And because I did, all I can explain to you was, as I was praying, my mind was thinking, I don't like this person. But I was praying in obedience. The love of God came upon me like I've never experienced ever in my life. And this is the best way I can explain it. When I looked at that person, there was such love that all these thoughts were erased. I could not think of an unkind or untoward thought towards this person. It literally consumed me. It consumed my mind, my heart. I have never to this day ever experienced that. It was supernatural, and it just came upon me, and then it lifted. So I said, we don't walk in that all the time. That was a supernatural experience. But what I experienced was a taste of how God thinks towards us. It was just a fraction of an experience that I said, that's how God thinks. And now, can we reach that place? I think we can. I think we can. But it's something that we have to keep exercising, and we have to keep walking in this and determining that we're going to walk this way. And I believe that as we meditate in the Word and as we act upon it, our lives change, our habits change, our thoughts change. So this love that we have, this new commandment in John 13, it says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, how? As I have loved you. You know, when you think about it, some of the translations said, even as. Boy, I get stuck on the even as. I get stuck there. You know, he says, well, you love other people even as I have loved you. We can get stuck right there for a while. What does that really mean? Just exactly how he loved. Or in the complete Jewish Bible says, in the same way, in the same exact way he loved us, we're to love others. So let's, as we pick up here today, this manifestation of God that we've received, this love is in us. It's manifested in a new heart, a changed heart. So this agape love gives and gives and continues to give, and it's never, even if it's not responded to. That's how God is. People don't respond to him, and he continues to give, and he continues to give, and they're not, and he's not acknowledged. Remember, he said, love even as I have loved. So in other words, when you think nobody's responding to your love, well, think about God. Love continues to give, even when we're not thanked or we're not responded to. So regardless of how a recipient response or lack of response, we continue to give. That's how God is. Even as. So this, I was thinking about this, when we talk about the agape kind of love, we always use this term unconditional love, right? It's unconditional. That means, how can we put this? No conditions. You ever think about that? No conditions. That means that if there was a condition, sometimes, you know, in today's environment we think about, or today's society, you can't get something without doing something. That means there's what? There's a condition. You can't get something free without a condition. They say free, there's nothing free. You have to buy a meal of the same price to get a free meal. It ain't free. Or you can't get this health insurance with preconditions. Or pre-existing conditions. So in other words, their unconditional love, there's no condition that's put upon us to receive God's love. Nothing we did will cause us not to receive his love. Do you think about that? So this agape love is not self-seeking. It's not self-seeking or selfish. So Paul expresses, if we're over there, let me get over to 1 Corinthians 13. When you look at the very last verse, he says, now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. So really, the Holy Spirit is expressing through Paul that the greatest thing in the world is love.
Amen.
Because God is love.
Amen.
And He's the greatest. So this love, there's the things that we could ask. What are the characteristics of this kind of love? You know, you think about this when we look at light. Light is made up, like a spectrum, light is made up of what? Some characteristics. If I shine light through a prism, it comes out with some spectrum of colors, doesn't it? So love is made up of a spectrum or some characteristics. And so what are the characteristics of love? What are those characteristics? How does agape love behave? How does it behave? How can you recognize it? That's a good question. And what is the evidence that we're moving in that? So when we look at 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, there are 15 characteristics of agape love. And you can look at that. What does it say? Charity suffereth long. That's one. Charity's kind. That's two. Charity envieth not. Three. You can go down these. There's 15. And we're going to look at those one by one. It helped us to. So what's characteristic number one? Charity or agape suffereth long. Now, if you look this up in the Strong's, I'm just going to walk through this briefly. It says it means to have a long spirit, not a loose heart. It means to persevere patiently and bravely in misfortunes and troubles, to be patient in bearing the offenses and injuries of others. This is what the Greek definition of it is. It says to be mild and slow in avenging, to be long-suffering, slow to anger, slow to punish. So in today's, you could say it's patient restraint of anger. So there's a patient restraint of anger or long-suffering. You could translate it forbearance or patience. You know what it's like? It's like a candle with a long wick. It's like a candle that has an endless wick that just keeps what? Burning and burning and burning and burning, and it never goes out. So in other words, long-suffering means you don't give up. You don't quit. You don't say, you know what? I've had it. That's it. I'm done. It just keeps burning. Love continues. It's patience, restraint of anger. So when Paul says charity or agape suffereth long, I'm going to read what Rick Renner used. I read this last week. This was his rendering of this. He said, love patiently and passionately bears with others as long as patience is needed. So as long as patience is needed, I bear with that person. Now, you might reach a point where you say, you know what? In this relationship, whether it's work, church, home, I'm done. And we may reach that point, but that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. Because the Scripture says in Romans 5:5, the love of God has been shed abroad, or in the King James it says, is shed abroad. Most of the other translations says, has been shed abroad in our what? Hearts by who? The Holy Ghost. So that means that when we reach that point, one of the translations, I think it's the Johnson, said we need a transfusion of the love of God. We need a refreshing of the love of God. So when I reach a point where I can't do it anymore, I'm ready to throw the towel in, that's when I need to do what? I need to say, God, I can't do this anymore. I need help to love this person, to love in this situation. I can't do it on my own. And we all reach some point when we've had enough in whatever situation we're in. Every one of us has. So agape love doesn't throw the towel in and quit. It does not do that. And we've all done it, but we can improve. We can get better, can we? I think we can. Because when we look into the Word of God and we look and it's reflecting back what it should be, does my life reflect that? And if it doesn't, well then, we have some work to do. We keep working at it. So, the human nature basically says, you know what, I'm sick and tired of believing and waiting. If this person doesn't come around pretty soon, I'm finished. Hey, we've all done that. You know, I've been preaching to that husband of mine or that wife or that child. I've been telling them blah, blah, blah. I've had it. Or it could be somebody you work with. I'm done. Or I quit. You know, it's easy to quit your job. I quit my job. It's not as easy to just quit in the home. But some people do. They just check out and they come home and they're like two ships crossing. Nobody talks. Gets quiet when we talk about this. Because this is where we live. And the thing is, we don't have to do it in our own strength. Because if we truly are Christians, then the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So if it's in us, then how do we get that to work in our lives? You see. So if your patience is being tested and you're in a relationship, whatever type of relationship that is, whether it's home or work or in the church, can be here too. You know, you say, you know what? I've had enough of that person. I'm going to walk another place. I'm going somewhere else. I don't even want to see their beady eyes this morning. I love you. Yeah. Felt like I've been cursed. But you know what? I think that here's the thing. Where the love of God is evident, you know, it's The motto that was given to the pastors for this church, where the love of God is evident, the Word of God is taught, the Spirit of God is directing, and when those things are there, you know, the power of God is manifested. Where God's presence is, His love is. And where His love is, there's no fear. There's no sickness and disease. There's no hatred. There's no strife. And so when we look at those things, the devil likes to get a foothold in where there's strife and there's bickering. Let me read this. This is at Romans 5:5, when it talks about the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. The Jordan translation says, God has given us a love transfusion. I like that. You know, sometimes when our blood, you know, you get into a situation where your blood needs a transfusion, it needs to be helped or supported. Sometimes our love does too. We reach a point where we need some help to love. To love the unlovely, to love in a relationship. The Johnson translation said, God's love fills our inner being. That's where love is, through the Holy Spirit. The Blackwelder translation, I like this one, says, God's love has been poured forth into and continues inundating our hearts. So it fills and it continues to. The Wuest translation, W-U-E-S-T, says, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts and still floods them. So the love of God not only fills our heart, but continues to flood our hearts. You know, I remember Brother Hagin sharing one time, he said that he was preaching, this was years ago, and he was in a setting, and he said, you know, if you don't love your brother, you're a murderer. Which 1 John says. And this woman was in the audience and came, I guess they went out to eat afterwards. And this woman said, you know, you've got me confused. He said, no, you are confused already. You know, he was just frank, but he said, no, you are already confused. It was just the light of the Word of God which showed up the confusion or exposed it. But you already were. And she said, well, you said something that, you know, if you don't love someone, you're a murderer. She said, I hate my mother-in-law. And so he said, well, then you're not saved and you're going to hell. That's the way he put it. And he said, I did it. He said, I just wanted to make her squirm a little bit. And so he continued on this story, and he said that he knew she didn't really hate her mother-in-law. She was saved, and the love of God was in her, but her flesh was putting the love of God down, wasn't allowing it to express itself. So he said to her, look me straight in the eye and tell me, look me right in my eyes and say, I hate my mother-in-law. And she did. She looked him square in the eye and said, I hate my mother-in-law. And he said, what's happened when you said that? She said, well, there was a little scratching going down here. He said, yeah, that's the love of God that wants to come out, but you're suppressing it with your feelings. And sometimes we suppress the love of God because of how we feel about a situation or someone. And we need to, if God expressed his love based on how he felt about us, we'd be in trouble. Big trouble. But he loved us when we could care less about him. And some of us, I include myself. You know, I think about some things that you do, and you say, you know what? I don't deserve his love, but he loved me, regardless of how I conducted myself. Now, as we grow older in the Lord and as we become more mature, he expects more of us. And expects us to grow up in Christ. And I think we all need just to be reminded of what the characteristics of love are. And that when we get into situations, we need to restrain, or we need to do what? Have long patience in things. So this nature, human nature, is short-tempered and intolerant. Isn't that true? Say amen.
Amen.
Because you already know it's so.
Yes.
Human nature is short-tempered and intolerant. You know, you may have a longer tolerance than others, but at some point, you get intolerant. You do. You're like, I've had enough. So that means that we can reach a point of being tolerant with God's love. We can. We can have more tolerance in things. So agape love is slow to anger, slow to wrath, and it doesn't know how to quit. It just doesn't know how to quit. That's so the first characteristic, it suffereth long. Let me just remind us again. It's patient restraint of anger or long suffering. It's patient restraint. Or we could say it's forbearance or patience. And we said it's like a candle with an endless wick. It just keeps burning. It never burns out. What is charity? It never faileth. It never quits. So the second characteristic, charity, I'm reading from the King James, charity or agape is kind. So this word in the Greek, just read it, it says to show oneself mild, M-I-L-D, to be kind or use kindness. It means to be adaptable or compliant to the needs of others. That's a big task. It means to be adaptable. It's not just me, what I want. It's adaptable to what you need. I put myself behind your needs. So when agape love is working in your life, you don't demand that others be like you. Agape love bends over backwards to become what others need you to be for them. The word kind portrays a willingness to serve and to change in order to meet the needs of others. You know, sometimes when I think about, you know, as people get older in their life, sometimes they may need a caregiver. Sometimes I'm always just amazed, that's the best word I can use in English, amazed at the extent that a caregiver gives. They put the needs of that person what? First, not their own. And I'm not talking about a paid caregiver. I'm talking about people that just do it out of love for that other person. Could be a husband for a wife for a husband. And the love that they give, they do it because they love that person and they put their needs first. Sometimes that comes to mind when I think about that, that they're adaptable, right? So it's completely self, in other words, it's the opposite of selfishness. Being kind, being adaptable is completely the opposite of selfishness. I want for me. Mine is put behind. It's not self-centered, right? So when somebody's kind, what are we saying? It's showing oneself to be self, oneself mild, to be kind, use kindness. So let me read the way Rick Renner translated this or rendered this verse. Agape love is kind. He said, love doesn't demand others to be like itself. Rather, it is so focused on the needs of others that it bends over backwards to become what others need it to be. So not difficult, but in every relationship, there's going to be a give and a take, isn't there? What we call this give and take. But sometimes it's going to require that we're adaptable to one another. And it's not just about me. It's their needs, their desires. So the person walking in the agape love of God adapts to those around them in order to do what? Touch them, help them, and to impact them in a meaningful way. So we adapt. Paul said that, didn't he? He said, when I'm with the Romans, didn't he say? I'm this way, I'm this way. So he did what? He adapted. To do what? To reach them, to have an impact. Brother Hagin said it one way. He said, you know, sometimes you have to reach people on the natural level before they'll even listen to you spiritually. That's being what? Adaptable. So we have to be that way. We can't demand that people just accept everything we say. We're going to have to reach out and adapt. Be kind. Characteristic number three. Charity, or agape, envieth not. Interesting, right? Or you could say this reflects generosity. So this word, envieth, the Greek word is really zelos. What do you think that comes from? Zealous. So it means to burn with zeal, to be heated or to boil with envy, hatred, anger, to desire earnestly, pursue, busy oneself about him. This portrays a person who is consumed with their own desire and plans. It's all about me, right? My plans, my thing. This is a person bent on getting their own way, willing to sacrifice anything or anyone to get it. They might be described in today's environment, in society, as ambitious or self-centered. They're so consumed with themselves, they don't think of the needs or desires of others. They don't think about it. They're just consumed with my self-ambition. And sometimes that is promoted in society today. But that's not the God kind of love. So real agape love doesn't think of itself first, but thinks of the other person rather than itself. That's totally opposite of what we're taught to do. We've been trained to think about me, myself. Now, I'm not saying, and think about this, if you are a husband or a wife and you have a family with children, you have responsibilities. But how many parents do we have in here today? When you were raising your children, how many thought of themselves first? Yeah, I know you thought about going to get the money, but you had children, you had mouths, you had them to think about. You put them what? First. That's love. That's the love nature. You put your children first, what? Before you. And for a lot of you, you did it your whole life until they were grown and out of the house. You put them first before yourself. You sacrificed. And that's all we're saying. We're using that as an example. When we interact with people and we go in our workplace and our interactions, we're to think of them first before ourselves. And how we interact. How? So that we can touch them, reach them, have an impact upon them. You know, I think about this, you know, for so many years working here in the ministry, I just reflect sometimes that out of the love that was in my heart, yes, I was paid here and on staff, but my heart, I'm just sharing what was in my heart. I didn't fabricate it. I didn't work it up. It was there. I had love for Pastor Clinton and Pastor Sarah. I had love for God, but then I had love for them, and I sacrificed myself. I put them and their needs first before mine. I did. I'm just telling you the way I thought and the way I was. If there was a need, I would put myself not first. I wouldn't say, oh, I got to do this. I would say, what do you need? Amen. That's how I was for years. Am I right? Here was my thinking. I need to do whatever I need to do to make it easier for them, to make them look good. And that's the way I operated. Now, I will tell you that if I had a family and children, it would have been different because I would have had other responsibilities. I couldn't have been as adaptable or free with my time. So I'm not telling people to do what I did. I'm telling you that I was available and I didn't make excuses. I didn't say, I can't do that. That's too much. There was never anything that was too much. Not in my mind. I'm just telling you the way I operated. I thought about them first. You may think that's crazy. No, it was out of love for this ministry, out of love for them at the head, and out of love for what they were doing for God and the impact that they were having in society. And I said, my life is at your disposal, God. And I'm doing whatever I can do to make it easier for them. Well, that's how love operates. That's just how it does. And so, this life that we have is a life of sacrifice. It's a life of service to God and to others. So as we look at this, let me just read these three verses again. Love, and I'm going to just read these three characteristics in what I had read before and the way Rick Renner rendered it. Love patiently and passionately bears with others for as long as patience is needed. Love doesn't demand others to be like itself. Rather, it is so focused on the needs of others that it bends over backwards to become what others need it to be. Love is not ambitious, self-centered, or so consumed with itself that it never thinks of the needs or desires of others or the desires that others possess. So as we shared, if we're coming up a little short or our life doesn't reflect that, then that's the time we do what? Instead of just giving up, or as they say in the vernacular, tapping out. I'm tapping out. That's the time to tap into God and say, God, I want to walk this way. I want to walk, first of all, not only I want to, I'm commanded to. He said, we're to love even as he loved. So it's not that I just want to, I'm commanded to. And since it's a command, then if I'm coming up short and I need help, then I ask for help. Instead of any man lack wisdom, do what? Let him ask of God. But when we're to ask, ask in faith, nothing wavering. For a man that wavereth is like a wave of the sea that won't receive anything. So I'm just going to touch on this. We're going to close, but picking up on Wednesday and next Sunday, I'm going to cover this. I'm going to start with characteristic four, which is charity vaunteth not itself. Sounds like something. What the heck is that? That's the old English word, vaunteth. You could think up what the heck that means, right? But that's not a normal word we would use today, vaunteth. It's not that type of word. But let me read what other Greek scholars say about this word. It's very interesting. The Strong's, or the Greek Concordance, says to boast oneself, a self-display, employing rhetorical embellishments in extolling oneself excessively. The word vaunteth in the Greek means a lot of self-talk. That's what it means, a lot of self-talk. In other words, a person who endlessly promotes himself and exaggerates his own virtues. One Greek scholar has said that this word vaunteth is a person who's full of hot air. That's the way he expressed it. Another scholar has said this word refers to a windbag. So, if you know somebody like that, then maybe a Jew, I don't know. But we just need to exhale, let the wind out, and let it get filled up with the love of God. Get a transfusion of the love of God. Get a dose of God's love and let it affect us in a positive way, right? So charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity suffereth long. What does that mean? It means to have patient restraint of anger or long-suffering, forbearance, patience. And charity is kind, and charity envieth not. Amen. There's a lot in these verses when you start to just meditate on them and think about them and see, am I measuring up? If we are in that area, wonderful, great. But if we're not, then we ask for help. Ask for God's help. He'll give it, and he'll help us, because when we think about society today, it's getting darker and darker, and people are biting and devouring what? The scripture says devouring one another with words and with attitudes and the way people conduct themselves. And when love walks into a room, it's like a breath of fresh air. It's like fragrance in a room. And they don't know what it is, but how many have experienced this? They'll say, I don't know what it is about you, but there's something different about you. It's the love of God. And even though you may not realize it, the difference of just what God has put in you, you may not be walking in all that you could be, but what you are walking in, people see it. And they know there's something different about you. It's the love of God. So rejoice and be glad. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this love nature that you've imparted to us. Thank you, Father, that we purpose to walk a little bit more and better in the love of God. And where we come up short, we purpose to ask you for an infusion of the love of God in our hearts. We purpose that as we walk in it, that you'll operate in a greater measure through us to impact this earth for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, just before we have served communion this morning, as we shared, the first step in having a heart change, the first step in receiving love, you know, it's important to know there's two things. It's important to know that God loves you. And that when you have come to a place that this love is in us and that it's working in us. But the first place is that you've got to know that he loves you. Regardless of how goofy we are, God still loves us. Because the scripture said, even when we were yet dead in our sins, Christ died for us. So he has paid for every man's salvation. And all we need to do is accept it for it to become a reality in our lives, to take place, to manifest, to change our hearts, for love to come in, peace to come in.